every Wednesday, just after the 10 o'clock news, we shine the light on somebody with a really cool job. And today, it is my pleasure to say hello to Rob McLeod, whose friends and who the rest of the world calls Frisbee Rob. Frisbee Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thanks for joining me. Frisbee Rob, you have set 6 Guinness World Records, and have you appeared at 10 World Championships, or have you won 10 World Championships?
I've won 10 World Championships in different disc sports.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. For those of us that aren't familiar, our experience with the Frisbee looks like a horrible golf slice off the tee box. What exactly do you do? Describe the Frisbees you use, and how do you set these records?
Yeah, so most people are familiar, I think especially in Edmonton, with Ultimate Frisbee or disc golf. And so my experience is very different. There's 10 different disc sports that I play, most of them involving humans, but there is one that I do that involves a dog as well. So there's different types of Frisbees, different weights, different diameters, different plastics. So once you get into it, it's really a big rabbit hole that you can go down and get very lost for a very long time.
I have some friends that are passionate about what they just call ultimate, right? The ultimate Frisbee. And I had no idea that there was so much science to Frisbees. It's almost like shopping for cars. I mean, you're looking for one that's fast, or one that flies, or one that flies true or straight. Or, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, and it didn't used to be that bad. Like, there used to be one option when Whammo was the only brand around, but now there's, like, 30 different manufacturers, and there's 60 different types of plastic. It's really difficult now to keep up with everything. There's a new disc coming out, like, every week, it seems.
So should I be calling it a disc? Is that, like, Skidoo or Q-Tip? Is Frisbee a brand name?
It is. We've pretty much considered it common domain, and I've even talked to the people at Whammo, and they seem pretty okay with calling it a Frisbee. But then we also call the sport itself Frisbee. So last summer, the World Flying Disc Federation was recognized by the International Olympic Committee, and in the video that we created for the IOC, we call it the sport Frisbee, because that's what people know. You know, if you say flying disc or disc sport, they don't really know what you're talking about.
So this,
I had a friend ask me, is hockey a disc sport? Because the puck looks kind of like a disc. And I said, no, it's not.
Not so much. Hockey players have got to go to the Olympics, though, before. Do you expect that you may appear at a Summer Olympics in future?
Not me personally, but we're aiming for Ultimate to be in the 2024 Summer Olympics.
Wow.
So that's...
Now, for people that aren't familiar with Ultimate Frisbee, and we'll get back to, because you have not made your fame and fortune, Rob, in the sport of Ultimate, but Ultimate Frisbee is essentially like football with a Frisbee, right?
And no tackling.
No tackling. It's like flag football?
Not necessarily. It's more like a combination of rugby and basketball. So once you catch, you can't run with it. You have to stop and establish a pivot foot.
Right, but there's no stoppage in play.
No, you just go, just like rugby. So if it's a turnover, you pick it up and go the other way.
So, Rob, what Guinness World Records do you have specifically?
So the one that I'm most proud of is with the dog, and it's the longest throw to a dog, which I actually set in Thorhild, which is just outside of Edmonton, and that's 402 feet. So
what?
The first dog to ever catch over 400 feet. And I have 3 Guinness World Records for an event we call Self-Caught Flight on Ice. So you throw the Frisbee, you skate, and catch your own throw. And I did all of those at the Silver Skate Festival, and I'm actually going to be attempting those coming up in February again.
I was talking to Bruce Bowie, who does our morning show, a couple of hours ago, and I was joking. And I said, I wonder if maybe Rob's going to try to set a record of throwing a Frisbee and catching it himself. But that proves to actually be true. You actually are going to be attempting that?
Yeah, so I hold 3 records right now for on ice, but the one record I want to set more than anything else is the MTA record on grass, and that was actually set in 1984. So that record's been there for a very, very long time.
And this is someone throwing it to themselves, running and catching it?
Yeah, and the record is 16.72 seconds.
16 seconds of essentially flight time.
Yeah.
What's the key to a good Frisbee toss?
It depends on the sport, but typically you want to have a lot of spin, and you want to control your angle. So if you're going for distance, angle is very important, because if you put your nose up too much, it's going to stall out just like an airplane. If you're going to have it go in the air as high as possible and stay in the air very long, then you actually want to have the nose up, and you want to have the wind carry it and have it float down. So
if you really want distance, you want the nose pointing down?
Well, you want it nice and flat.
Flat.
Yeah.
See, I'm already picturing myself just running a Frisbee, right? I'm horrible at Frisbee. I get nervous on a beach when people bring out a Frisbee. I go get everybody around a pina coladas to just get out of the situation because I'm so bad at it.
Well, one of the things right now that I'm trying to have an impact on is getting rid of bad Frisbees, because there's good Frisbees and bad Frisbees, but a lot of schools that I visit have bad Frisbees because, you know, they go to a promo company, or a company will donate Frisbees to the school, and they don't fly very well.
Well, that's what I think. I think I just must have been throwing bad Frisbees my whole life.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
That's actually, that has to be, it's not that a poor carpenter blames his tools. It's that I've just been throwing really bad Frisbees. Now, you're looking to recruit a partner in crime for this year's Silver Skate Festival in February, aren't you?
I was. I've actually found two women.
Ooh.
And I'm going to be making the official announcement on Saturday, but I guess this is the unofficial announcement.
Let's make it official right now, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So I found two women in Calgary. They both are ultimate players. One is a figure skater and the other is a hockey player. So it's going to be interesting to see how figure skates do in this event versus hockey skates.
And you're attempting to set six more Guinness World Records with either one or both of these women?
No, so I'm attempting three Guinness records, which I already own, and they're the men's records. So these two women are going to be attempting the women's records.
Oh, I see. So you're going to essentially coach them, work with them.
Exactly.
And you're doing this to grow the sport or to build your own brand or what?
Partly build my brand, but I'm starting to focus more on growing the sport itself. And so getting women involved is going to really help. One of the women is younger, and then one is older. And so one is 19 and the other is 32. And the 32-year-old, her partner has two kids. And so she's doing this to set an example for them, to show them that anything is possible. You know, you can go after this. And then the 19-year-old, whose name is Jenny, Jill is the other girl. So Jenny is actually trying out for Team Canada. She wants to go to Worlds next year in Australia to represent Canada.
This is so cool.
Yeah, like they're pretty incredible, so I'm really excited to have them on board.
Yeah, people have a whole bunch of questions coming in right now, Rob, so I want to get to these as many as I can. We're talking to Rob McLeod, otherwise known as Frisbee Rob, 10-time world champion, six world records under his belt. You can follow him on Twitter, at Frisbee Rob. A whole bunch of people want to know, what breed is your dog? A dog that can catch a Frisbee after 402 feet in the air.
He is a Whippet. He is about 30 pounds. And the advantage that Whippets have is they're the second fastest dog in the world behind the Greyhound. But they're a little smaller than a Greyhound, so they're more agile, and they're great for Frisbee because they're so fast.
Because when you're bombing a Frisbee 402 feet down, I mean, more than 100 meters, how many seconds is that taking? That dog's got to cover a lot of ground.
So, yeah, he ran about 134 yards in 9 seconds.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
He was actually slowing down at the end. So he could run probably top speed. He could run over 40 miles an hour.
How hard was it to train him? Did he just pick it up?
So a friend of mine owns him, and he was he's been an interesting dog. He's very tough to train. Whippets love to chase. They don't really love to bring back.
Oh.
So we've had many competitions where he'll catch, and then he just goes and lays down and just hangs out. And
yeah, he'd get along with my dog.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you know, we have 90 seconds. We have to bring it back. So I had to go chase him, and he kind of does this thing. But he loves to run. He loves to chase. Loves to play.
His name's Davey, right, Rob?
His name's Davey, yeah.
Now, so he's obviously, I suppose, the inspiration behind your children's book, The Davey Rule. What's that about? You're an author, too?
Definitely, yeah. A friend of mine who's actually a Hall of Famer in Frisbee suggested, you know, based on the messages that I talk about in schools, and based on Davey's abilities and his quirkiness, that would make for a really good children's book. And I thought, absolutely. I really love spending time with Davey. You know, unfortunately, dogs are not around very long, so I really want to make my time with him as great as possible and just get as much time with him as I can. The book talks about, you know, teaches kids about acceptance and kindness and determination. We really wanted to make a book that had an impact, so instead of kids just reading the book, we have questions at the back where parents and teachers can have conversations with their kids.
And I would imagine that if teachers are presenting this in their classroom, have you done classroom appearances with Davey?
I've done quite a few readings and book signings.
Oh, that's very cool.
I was actually in Edmonton for Read In Week this year.
Oh, you were?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, right on. We'll let people know Davy is spelled D-A-V-Y. They can check out thedavyrule.com. Now, Rob, you mentioned your friend, a Frisbee Hall of Famer. What Hall of Fame is it?
So he is in the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, the Freestyle Hall of Fame, and the Frisbee Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And I think Ultimate as well. He's actually lives in Arizona, but he became big as a Canadian Frisbee player. His name is Ted Westerfield, and he's just an incredible Frisbee player.
I love hearing about these communities that otherwise we would have. I mean, there are people that are just elite at what they do. You know, Hall of Famers, as you say, and many of us not necessarily familiar with their accomplishments. And the minute we start looking into them, the minute we see some of you in action for the first time, our jaws just hit our chins hit the floor. Marfus wants me to ask how long and how often you practice, and if you practice inside or outside, especially this time of year.
So my answer will vary from other Frisbee players. Like, ultimate players play a lot indoors in the wintertime. But for me, because I do so many different types of disc sports, right now my focus is all on the world records that are coming up. So when it's minus 10 or warmer, I'm going to be outside for sure. And then once the ice freezes, I'll be able to get on the ice and practice. But I definitely try to do as much as I can. I did a lot in the beginning when I was, you know, getting into Frisbee, as you can imagine, so I don't need to do as much now to maintain. But I don't want to just maintain. I want to continue to get better. So,
does a Frisbee soar differently? Does a disc fly differently in cold air as opposed to warm air?
It does, yeah. So it doesn't go as far, partly because you can't get as good of a grip on it, I find. And it also doesn't, so the discs I'm throwing, I really want them to sort of flip flat and then come down slowly, and they don't do that as much. So one of the most tragic things that happened a couple years ago, I threw a disc on the ice at Horlock Park, and it came down vertical and shattered in a million pieces.
Oh, no.
So that was really sad.
What do these Frisbees cost?
It all depends. Like, the ones I'm using are about $30 each.
Okay, so like it's not like they're not like hockey sticks that are $300 now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Rob's wondering if
you can buy them for $5 as well.
Oh, Rob wants to know if you ever use the Aerobee. He says it looks like a flat hula hoop. Rob says he's heard it's the most aerodynamic device ever created by man. He says he's heard they go way further than a regular Frisbee. Is he true?
So the world record with an Aerobee is 1,333 feet.
Wow.
In the air. But we don't consider them a flying disc, obviously, because they're not a disc. They're a flying object. But the world record for the longest throw with a disc, which was just broken earlier this year, is 1,109 feet. So it's pretty long. But my favorite world record is a buddy of mine, Randy. The world record for the longest roller, he rolled a disc over a kilometer. So it's 1.1 kilometers.
Was he like he had to roll it and release it, or he's allowed to run behind it and keep moving it?
Essentially, we call it the death roll. So it wasn't actually like a straight roller. It was just kind of flipping in over end, and the wind held it up.
Yeah.
But when you're in windy, like we do our distance attempts in Vegas in the lake bed, and when the wind picks up, you can have six discs rolling like that, and you have to go get them because they'll go for kilometers if you don't stop them.
You guys probably don't. You sound like you don't have any fun with your friends, Rob.
No fun at all.
No fun at all. Hey, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. We endeavor to track down people with really cool jobs, and you absolutely qualify.
No, thanks for having me on the show, Ryan.
Of course. You could learn more about what Rob McLeod does by following him on Twitter, @FrisbeeRob. Actually, Gina, hang on a second. I need to bring Rob back for a second. I made a total, we're going to bring him back. Rob, I don't think I've ever done this before in the show, but I realized I was safe. So I'm not going to thank you for your time again. Don't hold your breath. However, I didn't even ask you about Unplugged. That's one of the most that's one of the most important things you do.
Yeah, and I just had a really exciting announcement yesterday, actually. So I don't know if you've heard of Philip Zimbardo.
No, I don't think so.
He did a TED talk called The Demise of Guys, and he did the Stanford Prison Experiment in 1971. He wrote a book called Man Interrupted. So he's an incredible man. He's a psychology professor at Stanford. And I reached out to him and just said, I want to thank you for the video you did. The Demise of Guys talks about how the average boy plays 10,000 hours of video games by the time he's 21. He watches 50 porn clips a week. And the average boy is being outperformed academically on all levels by women. So it's just saying, like, the state of boys is not very good. video game companies don't care, the pornography doesn't care, like, what can we do? And so, like, Unplugged is partly a challenge to come up and do something about it. And I reached out to him and just thanked him for the video and asked him if I could ask some questions, if he wanted to be involved. And he said that he'd love to be an advisor. So he's actually an advisor for Unplugged now, which is incredible.
Amazing.
But yeah, the challenge for me is whenever I go into school, I challenge kids to take one day away from video games, Netflix, television, and movies. You know, technology is amazing. I'm not trying to get them away from all phones, all technology. Just saying take a day and just try to stay away from those four things.
It's not like we need to 100% ignore technology. We just need to get the balance back.
Yeah, the average kid spends about 8 hours a day in front of a screen. So I'm really trying to get them to say, okay, instead of 8 hours, maybe what if we spend 5 hours or 4 hours? And then we have all this extra time. We can do some reading. We could pick up a hobby. You could practice a sport. So it's really important, I think, for kids to have that self-awareness, because a lot of kids actually emulate what their parents are doing. And if their parents are on their phones all the time, the kids are on their phones all the time, where's the family time? So I think it's really important to get that back.
I'm one of those that needs that reminder from time to time, Rob. I'm so glad I remember to ask you about that, because I just admire what you do. And I'm going to share the address, the web link for that with our listening audience. Again, thanks for your time.
Thank you for sharing that.
You bet. That's Frisbee Rob. And the initiative he's talking about is called Unplugged. Just check out unplugged.ca, but lose the E out of Unplugged. So UNPLUGGD. Lose the E out of Unplugged. Unplugged.ca.
The Ryan Jesperson Show. Weekday mornings at 9 on 630 CHED.